Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along as we take a look at your personal computer. Are you getting the most out of your computer? I hope so. If you're not, maybe you've got a question for Peter Green, my guest. Pete is with InfoStar in Madison, visits with us monthly to help with your personal computer problems and concerns. If you have a question, give us a call. The number 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And if you want, go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, where you can post a question or a comment there. Pete, good to have you back.
Always great, Larry.
I tell you what, we have some great questions already. And go ahead.
Well, you know, as far as what's going on line with security and hacking.
Yeah,
and
that's
all
what
that,
I wanted to bring up.
One of the web hosting companies I work with was recently hacked. And it almost feels like, you know, I was just trying to think of a good thing people could relate to. It almost feels like the Wild Wild West, which got settled down with all these websites, has got all these little pockets of activity. You know, with like Clint Eastwood walking into the sheriff's office and saying, you know, let that guy go or whatever. And then he turns his back and walks out with the prisoner or something like that. Microsoft has had their SSL certificate stuff spoofed and hacked recently. There have been web hosting companies that have been hacked. You know, people get exploits with antivirus even on their system. And people say to me, you know, how can they get in? Well, nothing's 99%. You know, nothing's 100%.
No.
You're 99% at best. And if they find that little opening, you know, and they get in there, depending upon how, technology-wise they are at leveraging that they've pried open the door and got into your system or got onto a hosting company, some of them morph. They almost recognize, you know, that, okay, you're trying to get rid of me.
So
which trips the trigger for, okay, let's shut this part down, or let's cobble their antivirus so it can't do its thing. And if you try to go to another site to deal with it, it starts getting worse, almost like a domino effect. Companies like Sony, you know, been hacked. Their gaming sites shut down. MasterCard, Visa card, they've had stuff hacked. They try to come out with new compliance laws and rules. I wouldn't say laws, but rules, where they try to get their merchants to adhere to them. But, you know, nothing's 100%. So
they have to be really careful.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of phishing going on, people being spoofed and phished all the time. You just have to, you know, use good common sense when you're visiting sites and paying attention, when you're reading emails that may or may not be coming from your bank, may be coming from another financial institution or something that you've used in the past, and then all of a sudden you say, hey, you know, is this really for me? And, you know, some of them say, hey, we're not going to send you communications by email. And now a company like PayPal has changed their game plan, and
they are.
Have you sign off that we're going to be communicating with you by email. So, you know, the rules are always changing. Nothing's 100%. You got to be careful. Is it time for regulation on this stuff? I've been saying that for a long time, that, you know, it can't be free for
laws.
It can't be free forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have, you know, safety stuff going on with our cars and travel.
We need it for the computers.
The internet
too.
And the computers is still, you know, to me, the Wild Wild West. So,
well, I don't know if Deidre. Well, she's not from the Wild Wild West. She's from Lake Geneva, but she she has a question. I don't think Lake Geneva is the Wild West, is it, Deidre?
No, far from.
Okay, but you do have a question about your computer.
Yes. Well, the other day I had shut it down. Well, put it on hibernate, it's a laptop, compact. And it turned on overnight, and so then I was using it in the morning, and it froze up. So I shut it down with the power button. And now, when I go to turn it on, the power light comes on and the fan kicks in, but then it shuts itself down. Like, it just keeps doing that over and over and over, and I don't know how to fix it.
So it's not actually coming up to the desktop?
Right. Yeah, no, it's not. It's just the light comes on, and you can hear the fan kick, like the light for the power button.
Right.
And the fan kicks in, and then it shuts down, and then it does it again, and it does it over and over, and I can't even get it to, like, start up. So I don't know if it, like, burnt something out overnight. I don't know what happened.
How old is the laptop?
It's about 5 or 6 years old.
Okay. A couple of things to try. Something as simple as just disconnecting it from the power.
Okay.
And also removing the battery to let this the static dissipate for about 30 seconds and then put the battery back in.
Okay. And yeah, I've tried all that. I took out the battery and unplugged it. And then I read online where you can actually, with the battery out, and it unplugged, you can hold the power button down and somehow it does like a restart.
Right. What happened with that?
And nothing.
Still the same.
Yeah.
There might actually be a hardware issue with the laptop then, because that was the next thing I was going to suggest. I didn't know the exact sequence, but you described one of them. So I would have tried that too.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you to put in your disk that comes with the laptop, because if you do things mistakenly, you could, actually redo the hard drive and lose your stuff.
Yeah.
That's not to say that the stuff on your hard drive is lost and not recoverable. It sounds to me like there might be something going on with the main system board, which is not allowing to start up. Where the hard drive inside that laptop could actually be removed and you could still recover the data and information that's on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
You might, if you have access to a computer, you might want to do some other searches and see if there's anything else you can attempt to try, but
that's about it.
I think those are the two main ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Good luck. Thanks, Deb, for calling. We had Corey in Avoca, Wisconsin, with a question for you as well, Pete. So let's go there. Hi, Corey.
Yeah, good morning, Peter. Hi. Green and Larry. How you doing?
Great. Thank you for calling.
I agree with the last caller. It probably is the hard drive. Mm-hmm. I just had a question about my printer. I have Windows 7 64-bit, and I have a laptop running Vista 32-bit. My printer is plugged into the Windows 7 64-bit. And on the HP site, it has a download, which includes both the 32 and the 64-bit drivers.
Right.
In order for the laptop, which is 32-bit, to use the printer on the 64-bit system, I need the 32-bit drivers out of that download.
Okay.
And it will only do the 64-bit drivers, and I don't know where to get the 32 so that it'll work properly. I can't divide it up. I called HP and they wanted me to pay to get the answer. And I'm like, well, I paid for the printer. Can't you give me the support?
So no, they won't split out the driver for you?
Right. And I called Consumer Protection, too, because I just didn't know what to do about that. I feel like they should be providing me with the 32-bit driver separated somehow on a networking download or something.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense that they wouldn't be doing that, because if you need the 32-bit driver to work on your Windows 7 machine.
Right. Well, and because of what you were talking about earlier about tampering and hacking and all of that,
right.
They don't want to supply you with the, you know, they give you like a little download that then links you to their site to get it off of their site, and it'll download that way, you know, and that's only providing it one way and not broken up in two different forms.
The only other option I could think of is these file sharing programs that are out there.
Yeah.
Like Views and I don't even know if LimeWire is still going or whatever, is to do a search and see if someone has made that available.
Sure, okay. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I had another question about what you were talking about right at the beginning there. You know, I was wondering, is that kind of like every hop that your information travels via the internet system, you know, it goes across a router, and it's kind of like a subway station going by different stations, you know, to get to your destination. And do we have to start policing these routers so that people are not grabbing information and hacking, like such as Yahoo chats or whatever, where you can just see just about anything somebody's saying to somebody else using certain software?
Well, actually, the way the information travels around the network is in packets.
Right.
And
packets can be sniffed and they can be broken apart, and you can basically read everything inside of that packet. So technically, people are vulnerable when they're using these chat sites.
Right. Well, one of the things I was going to mention is even Google, the person in charge of Google has stated that they live on the edge, you know, of you know, the security world. You know, when they go around and they're, they've even been accused of war driving, which is gaining access to wireless networks as they have their vans traveling around and gathering information.
And there's programs to stop that, too. So
yeah,
it's like make something and then you got to make something to defeat it.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's the answer to that? Well, you know, if you lock down your own system, you know you're well protected. But it's, you know, going out there and gaining access to information that you would like to have, but has someone hacked that information that you're trying to gain access to? You know, where is the trust factor?
Yeah.
And attacking the sheep, the people who don't know and can't protect themselves, they're just grazing in the woods.
Right.
They're out there just trying to make a meal out of everything, it seems like.
And then companies like Microsoft, which, you know, may claim to have the most secure, you know, operating system in the world, having their SSL certificates, you know, spoofed and hacked into. And I can tell you from a website management perspective, I've applied for these SSL certificates, and they have you jump through a number of hoops. It's not just like, you know, you sign up for this stuff online and then you're done. They interact with you over the phone, paperwork, and so forth. So it's not an easy, simple process to go through to get one.
There you go. Thanks for calling, Corey. Appreciate your call. Peter Green of InfoStar, our guest today as we talk with him about getting the most of your personal computer. I'm Larry Mueller, Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking personal computers with Peter Green. Pete, we have a Facebook question from Kat, who says, I think I have a browser hacker on my computer. During searches, I'm almost always routed to getanswersfast.com or a site that looks like a bogus a search engine, or to msdn.microsoft.com. Can I trust that latter website, msdn.microsoft.com? Is it really a Microsoft site? I suspect it's bogus, too. More importantly, how do I get rid of this? It's made any searches on the net impossible. I'm afraid to log on and do any banking, bill paying, or whatever. I've run SpyBot and Malwarebyte. Malware does detect two problems that it will not allow me to fix because I'm not the administrator. But I am the designated administrator, so please help. There you go.
The MSDN's actually is a website, Microsoft Developer Network.
Okay.
It does sound like there's a little hijacking going on, and Microsoft's got information in their knowledge base about how to deal with getting rid of browser hijackers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's documented out there, and you could probably do a Google search on that too. What I'd probably recommend, the caller didn't talk about it happening with multiple browsers, but we've talked about this many times, to have more than just one browser on your system. So if you're, you know, using Safari, you can use Safari on a PC too, not
mm-hmm.
just an Apple, but, you know, getting Google Chrome, Mozilla Firefox, not just have an Internet Explorer, and see, you know, if the experience is the same, you know, with the other browser, just to, you know,
just validate
is a good thing. I try to never save my, you know, one of the personal things that I do, you know, people say, well, what does Pete do? I don't save my passwords on my machine. I just don't even, you know, I don't want that one thing that might get through that says, oh, let's go for it. And then, you know, they've got the relationship of me visiting a website and what passwords I use. It's a little bit, you know, more mm-hmm. work in terms of gaining access to, you know, my financial accounts and other things that I use. But it's my safety net knowing right. that, you know, my password's just not out there.
Yeah.
And it's not on my machine.
I do the same thing. I do exactly the same. It's a little more work, but in the end, it's worth it.
Yep.
We had a Facebook question from Steven. Sometimes a new window will open, and it has a dialog box that opens with it. I have to close that dialog box before closing the pop-up window. At the same time as this started, I'm not able to open my Trend Microvirus program. Should I contact Trend Micro? So, window
well,
opens.
Well, number one, having pop-ups disabled. It sounds like that somehow, if it wasn't set, you should probably set it so pop-ups are disabled on the browser.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I go back to making sure you have an alternative browser to look at things with. I would make sure that you can update Trend Micro and see if it appears to be working properly. And contacting them as well, just making sure that they're aware that something is on the cusp of getting through
mm-hmm.
or, you know, tickling their system. I don't know what what kind of language you want to use to describe it, but, you know, it's flirting with, you know, potentially more trouble. I know one of the systems that I do support work for, I got a call on Saturday. I think it was Friday. And they said that, you know, something had gotten through and the free version of AVG that was on their system had been cobbled. So it would come up, but it wouldn't do anything. And a simple, you know, sometimes a quick fix to this, and not always, but sometimes a quick fix on a Windows system is to, if you've got Restore turned on, and I would recommend it, is to actually go back and try and do a system restore quickly as soon as you notice the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think some of these don't disrupt that, but will over time, the ability to do a system restore. So sometimes that works.
Do it right away.
Yeah, and then the real bad ones on my tips page, the very last tip, I've got this whole thing worked out about how to identify a stealth program and how to delete it, even though you can't see it because you learn its location. But those are the real extreme cases.
Jack in Milwaukee, we're turning to you now. Hi, Jack.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
My girlfriend has an Apple MacBook Pro, and the problem is reception from the wireless. It works in the house spottily.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an office above our garage. It doesn't work out there at all or on the front porch, although other people bring their laptops over and they work fine.
Now, when you say other people bring their laptops over and they work fine, are they Mac Pros?
Some are and some aren't.
Hmm.
But there isn't a problem. And it's also a little spotty in the house, too. Mm-hmm. And I actually got a new router, got a new replaced the computer, paid a 10% restocking fee, and the same thing happened with the supposed new computer, new laptop.
What kind of router do you have?
I think it was two-wire. Does that make sense?
Called two-wire?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I forget if that's like a AT&T.
I got the Dish network, and that was my other part of my question is, could it be through my network? I mean, could it just be a bit? Because I had a neighbor move in, and her sign-in page comes on my computer when I turn it on. Instead of, I mean, it seems like hers is more powerful.
Well, let's see. Where is the router located in your house?
It's in my son's bedroom.
Your son's
upstairs.
Bedroom. So in terms of wireless communication close by, you're able to get onto it. It's when you're further away, you're having issues?
Yeah, but it's not great even nearby.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a MacBook Pro, and it does okay, but it's not as good as a Windows laptop for bringing in wireless. That's just personal experience. As far as routers go, I can tell you that if there are conflicts in the setup, that can run interference. Is your wireless SSID, is it secure? You know, in other words, do you have to log into it with a password and?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know if it's dual band or not?
No, I don't. I was hoping you didn't ask me too many questions. Pretty much a novice on computers.
Well, I can tell. The reason I'm bringing these things up is my son's roommate was like, "All right, we need to get a new router." And I said, "What's the problem?" And he said, "Well, it's just not as fast as it should be." And they were claiming they were supposed to be getting 25 to 30 meg, and they, you know, it just wasn't working as well. So I said, "Well, you know, before you open up the box and the package, let me take a look." So I went down there, and they had their dual band router set up to have the same SSID, and because of that conflict, it kind of choked the router, so it didn't allow the maximum throughput. So when I was done, they were getting, you know, in excess of 10 to 20 meg, depending upon where they were in their apartment and how many walls they had to go around. So if there are any conflicts in the setup, and you mentioned, you know, the router from your neighbor, maybe broadcasting pretty strong. So, you know, maybe there might be something where you play with the channel for your system, maybe define a channel. The other thing that you can do to boost your signal, and this is where I like eBay, because you just can't find these things in stores. Even when you had CompUSA, which is a computer supermarket, you still couldn't find these things. And if you did, sometimes they were priced, you know, to me, way too high for what they're worth. So what I've done is I've purchased what you can do to boost your Wi-Fi signal is actually change the antenna. Some of them use these internal antennas, and they're broadcasting pretty strong, and you may have one that's got an external antenna, is to actually amplify the signal just by changing the gain on the antenna, which means that you unscrew the antenna and put in one that's rated higher. So that's another possibility. But if you have a dual band, which you typically don't have an external antenna, then you might have a conflict set up where there's like a tug of war going. So the signal is getting through, but there's stuff getting in the way. So, you know, you've got some playing to do.
There you go. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's go to St. Louis, Missouri. Talk to Mary. Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm not actually in St. Louis, but I'm on my way there.
All right.
The reason I called, I bought a new Toshiba laptop about 3 weeks ago. My hard drive was corrupted on the other one. They backed up my data and transferred it onto the new computer. And I had Microsoft Office 2007, and I was on a deadline. And so I needed to get Microsoft Office, and I couldn't find my key code. I had originally purchased a free license, purchased about a year and a half ago of 2007. So I went online, and I went to look for Microsoft, and I typed it in Microsoft Office, and it took me to a site. It had a security certificate. It had the little check mark next to the box. I ordered Microsoft 2007 for $89.99, I think. But I never got an email. I never got a confirmation code, and I thought something's wrong. So I emailed them. This is about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I got an email back about 2 minutes later that was from Joy Happy computer company in China. The original website had no Chinese on it at all. Grammatically it was all good. It was a really professional website. I thought I was on Microsoft, and I'm really careful, and I work on a computer for a living. I paid for it with my PayPal account. Excuse me. They debited my account immediately based on the timestamp. And I wrote them back and said, you know, this is fraudulent. I want my money back. And then I started to get all these really goofy emails from this happy Chinese company.
Mm.
And I called PayPal. PayPal said, we can't do anything unless you go through the normal channels. I can't get my money back. It was bogus. Chinese company eventually wrote me back and said, okay, we give you money. It'll take time. Don't call again. And I never called them. I just emailed them. Is there anything I can do? I've had several times where my ESET security has said that somebody's trying to get in and they've used an invalid name and password. I've changed all my passwords for everything. I don't keep them on my computer. I'm suspicious that somehow somebody's remotely getting in and it's tied to that. I would like to get my money back, but PayPal's not helpful. This was 3 weeks ago, and it had the security system, you know, what they're talking about now, getting stolen. It had it then. I thought I was on Microsoft.
I would keep pestering PayPal.
Okay.
You should, you're a customer of theirs, and, you know, they should take some ownership for this. They've enabled a company to accept PayPal that's doing fraudulent use of it. So I would keep pestering them. Have you talked to them on the phone?
I did. Okay. And I did the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you have to contact them and you have to give them 30 days to reply and to refund your money.
Right.
I have not called them. I'm traveling now. When I get back to St. Louis tonight, I'll probably try to call them again.
Yeah, they do have, procedural-wise, they do have, you know, some waiting periods, because I have actually complained with some of the transactions that, you know, I tried to, buy some software products, and they have their kind of waiting periods to, let some of the things play out, and hopefully they get resolved. But, you know, after the, you know, adhere to their timetable in terms of, okay, you've given it the 30 days, then, you know, be aggressive in going after them to, you know, to
well,
try.
Well, how do you know, though, if these security certificates have been stolen, and this happened before I heard it on the news.
Right.
How do you know? I mean, this site, I swear, I was on Microsoft.
Yeah, they're good. They're good at what they do. That's why they're, you know, it's not a... it's not a penny operation. You know, they know that they can make lots of money by doing this stuff. So
the other thing, are you from Wisconsin or from Missouri? No, are you?
I'm from Wisconsin. I'm actually from Sheboygan, and I was just leaving there. I'm driving back.
No, but you don't live in Wisconsin now.
No.
All right. So the other thing you should probably do is contact your Missouri Department of Consumer Protection and file a complaint with them.
Okay.
And I don't know the 800 number for Missouri, but you should be able to easily find that. It would either be through the Attorney General's office, or it would be through there could be a Department of Consumer Protection in Missouri. I'm sure there is.
Yeah, they get enough of these complaints, they start getting involved.
And then they get involved.
Yep.
And that helps a lot. And I'd be complaining about PayPal, too.
Okay. Is there any place that's safe, then? I mean, if these security certificates have been spoofed, how do you know?
No, that's the problem. You don't.
Okay.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And I think it's getting to the point where, you know, and I hate to say this, but our legislators that have these discussions and ask questions of people in the industry have no clue at what they're asking, and they have no clue about the answers. Because when I listen to these things on C-SPAN or whatever, they lie when they answer because it's true for one thing and false for the other.
Yeah.
And unless you technology wise are
know what's going on
fluent, yeah, you have no clue what you're even saying for a question and what you're expecting for the answers. It's just for me, it's frustrating to just listen to the process because they're out of the loop.
Yeah.
So
thanks, Mary. Thank you. Thanks for calling. I wish we had more help for you. But.
Yeah, and what's even more sad about the whole thing is when you get companies like Microsoft and, you know, the certificate stuff that they promote as being, you know, it's got to have this, and then they get their stuff compromised.
Yeah.
You know, what does that do for, for, you know, making people feel good about the system they've put in place?
We got Kate and Menasha up next. Kate, hello.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a Hewlett-Packard Media Center. I guess it must be, I don't know, it's older than I think it is, I guess, maybe 5-6 years old, running on Office XP, I think. And it's taking increasingly longer to set up when I restart it every morning. And I'm just wondering if there's something I need to do. I've asked it if it needs to be defragmented. It repeatedly says, no, you don't need to defragment. I've gotten rid of cookies and, you know, internet files and so forth. So I just wonder, do I need a new computer or do I just need to do something?
Have you done anything as related to looking at hard drive space? And?
Yes. I think I have, and I have a lot of space on the computer in general. I have tons of memory open.
Mm-hmm.
So,
have you? Okay, so we'll go over a couple of things real quick. One is, have you ever done anything like resizing the recycle bin or changing the amount of space your system takes up with system or store?
I think I have changed the recycle bin,
okay.
But I don't know.
So that it's like one, maybe 1% of your hard drive size?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's hardly ever anything in my recycle bin.
Right. But if you click on properties, you know, just make sure the default is 10% of your hard drive.
Okay.
So if you go to the right mouse click on recycle bin, click on properties, you can resize that to about 1%.
Okay.
If you go into accessories and then system tools and system restore, you can do the same thing with this, resizing the amount of space that system restore uses, which is a default at 12% of your hard drive.
Okay.
So you can take that down to about 1%.
Okay.
That'll free up some space sometimes that helps systems in terms of performance. If you do an analysis of system defragmentation and it doesn't need it, then it's probably right. I would also say for people that are out there that are acquiring these newer solid-state hard drives, be warned. They tell you, read the box or read the papers. You know, do not defrag solid state drives. They do not need that, and in fact it can cause problems and issues with those kind of hard drives.
Could I ask, do you think Norton could be screwing up the works too? I mean,
that's
a matter of fact.
Norton likes to be in control of everything.
Okay.
So that can definitely be an issue in terms of slowing your system down. So you may want to see if there are ways to fine-tune that if you want to stick it out with Norton. Another utility, I don't know if you've listened to the show before, and we've talked about it, and they claim some crazy number of millions of downloads, but it's called CCleaner.
Okay.
And, you know, cleaning up your system registry is useful, and that utility has a registry cleaner.
Could I ask one more related? Is there anything on the startup menu that could be slowing down?
Sure. Do you have a lot of pictures in the lower little icons in the lower right-hand corner of your screen?
Uh, What's a lot? Is like six a lot?
Yeah, I would say at least that.
Yeah. Okay, so get rid of some of those.
Well, what you can do is a lot of those you don't really need. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of like sitting there in the background occupying some slices of memory in your CPU. And what you can do is if you click on start and then run and type in MSConfig for Microsoft Config. Mm-hmm. And then hit enter, mm-hmm. you'll see a startup tab.
Yeah.
And just write down what's checked off.
Yeah.
So make a list and what the checkboxes are, because you can always go back into it and turn them back on if you need something that you want back.
Oh, yeah.
But you can uncheck those and then see and put them back mm-hmm. one by one and see what comes up. It's a little time-consuming trial and error, but... you'll definitely
worth it, though.
But you'll definitely know it's what works and what's giving you grief.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thanks a lot for calling, Kate.
Good luck.
Good luck. Peter Green of InfoStar, our guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening. Join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question there. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here as we take a look at your personal computer. If you got any issues with it, I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. And Pete, we have a question from a caller, Marco, who says, I have a Dell desktop and will be replacing it with a newer computer, but also a PC. What's the fastest way to transfer all of my files from the old one to the new one? So the old PC, we got the new PC. What's the best way to do it?
I would, you know, it depends on how much, you know, you've files you got for that you've got your data in, you know, whether it's pictures and music and all that. But, you know, having these external hard drives around that just plug into the USB port and don't even need a power source are, to me, they're awesome. Toshiba makes them. I forgot what there's another popular brand out there. But, you know, they come in 500 gig size, terabyte size, and larger. They're like the size of a deck of cards.
Yeah, and hold all that.
Yeah, and you can use it on the new system for backup as well. And then the other thing is you can get memory cards and memory card readers, and you can get 16 and 32 gig cards for those. You can buy thumb drives. You can back them up to that as well. Those aren't as expensive. As far as getting a new desktop, boy, I'll tell you, the hardware is just screaming in terms of speed. The newer drives now, a year ago, the Sandstone technology for SSD drives was on a card that had to be plugged into the computer. Now it's in the SSD drive. So yeah. The technology is moved into the actual drive itself. And the read-write speed is phenomenal. And then if you've got a newer board to support the throughput, that even bumps it up a notch. So when you start testing these machines with 8 and 16 gigs of RAM and HD video and, you know, terabyte of RAM for supporting video, the gamers are just, you know, drooling over what's going on out there. So A lot of choices.
We had a caller in Wisconsin Rapids who had some great advice for the woman with the PayPal problems.
Yeah.
She should have been told when she called that PayPal has buyer protection. So when you call with an issue like that, they should give you a case number, and they should also refund your money without whether or not they can get the money from the fraudulent company. This is a service for all PayPal users, so she should tell them that that's what she expects them to do.
Now, I know from being an eBay user that they put that out there on their site in terms of people buying product. I don't know if that exists for purchasing outside, you know, But it's worth trying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And we have a Facebook question from Ron. Recently got Charter Internet. One laptop continually requires reassigning the IP address. It has Windows Vista. The other desktop and other laptop uses Windows XP, and there's no problem. Our Android phones use the Wi-Fi just fine, too. What's wrong with my Vista laptop?
Vista.
Yeah, Vista. That's the whole problem.
I would talk to Charter and see if there's a workaround with that that they know of. Vista's just, you know, has issues. And I'm not surprised in you saying that this works and that works, but Vista doesn't. It's got known problems, and that's probably why.
Barb in South Milwaukee will go to you now. Hi, Barbara. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a Dell desktop computer, and I have a Roadrunner site that I got with the Time Warner cable when they hooked it up. And I'm using it for just a professional site. And I had a problem with a Excel document that was on a jump drive, and I took it over to the neighbor, put it in her machine, and she was helping me change it around. And shortly thereafter, I started getting admin notices saying that I had no space left on my computer. Okay. A message was sent to you that was returned to the sender, bounced, because it would have caused your mailbox quota to be exceeded. And it's got quota bytes in the mailbox, total quota 10240000. And I can't get or receive, receive or send any emails out of this account. And I have plenty of space left. Could this be a virus of some sort? Or
You said it's a Roadrunner site that you're using. There might be some setup work that you have to do to change some of the quota on the account,
uh-huh.
Or you should talk to them directly, because they should be able to number one, get in and fix that for you. But it sounds to me like there's some kind of limit that's been reached that maybe needed to be corrected or changed that you don't know about.
Okay, and just by going in and deleting a bunch of files would not have put it back into working? Because I eliminated like about 300 emails from the sent, mm-hmm. received, and deleted files.
Right.
And I got it down to 294 messages, and so it's still not, just isn't working.
Yeah, I would talk to Roadrunner.
To Roadrunner.
Yeah, I would talk to their tech support and have them work with you. Because there might be something that you're not quite doing right, that's still not changing the quota that they're looking at, and that's why you're having a problem.
Yeah, could well be. Good luck, Barbara.
The other thing that's kind of hidden under this, and I just it kind of trips something in my mind. Is related to things that people don't realize that might be going on. For example, a web hosting company I work with for managing a couple of sites got hacked into. And not all accounts got compromised. But all of a sudden, they need to look at their security.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be making changes that may be affecting people that weren't affected with new rules of using rules of engagement. So something that changes, you know, that you're seeing, you may have to be proactive and just ask the question, is there something different? And you need to contact, you know, who you're paying your service through, whether it's Roadrunner or your web hosting company or whatever, just to see if something's changed. And a lot of times they post pages that make their users aware of events that have gone on or things that they're doing, but it doesn't provide all the detail that may tell you how you're being affected.
Yeah.
So you sometimes you got to be proactive about, you know, getting the answer.
Let's go to Brian in Wauwatosa next. Brian, hello to you.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My problem or complaint is I've got a program on my computer that's driving me nuts. Every time I don't care where I go, as far as an address, keywords will be highlighted. So I'm reading something and think that this keyword will give me more information, and a window pops up, and it tells me that I won. Well, it's a thing called Living Play, and it shows no publisher. It, I believe, self-installed on July 16th. I'll go to the uninstaller, and as soon as I click uninstall, it says it's not responding, and it'll pin itself to my taskbar for a couple of weeks.
Oh. What do you think, Pete?
First thing I would do, I'd probably search and see if there's a way to get rid of it that people have documented, you know, so whether or not you use Google or Yahoo to search the web or whatever your favorite search engine is, and see, you know, how people have gotten rid of it. If that doesn't work, the tip I posted on my tips page, the very last one, allows you to identify the program that's actually running and where it's located and how to delete it. Malwarebytes has actually got a program that will allow you to delete hidden files as long as you know where they're located. So this other program, I think Nuber Security or something, that's listed on my tips on that tip, will help you identify what that program is called and where it's located, and then you use Malwarebytes and you do, I think it's File Assassin is the tool that they call, and you just put in the address and then it deletes it, and that's how you can get rid of it off your system. But there are people out there and companies that have developed tools to remove some of these inflicting programs. And so that's the first thing I always look for, is if someone's come up with a method or a tool before using my surgical technique.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Greg in Oshkosh, we'll go to you now. Hi, Greg.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
Sure.
I've got an 8-year-old HP computer with Vista on it, and I want to reformat the drive, try to get rid of some of the junk that's piled up over the year. And besides, obviously, you know, saving my pictures and documents onto a thumb drive, I'm wondering about system files or update files so that I don't have to spend hours online going back over Windows updates or other things. Is there other, is there specifically system files that I need to be concerned about saving onto another drive and then just, getting them back through how I saved it on the flash drive or...
Well, when you redo a system, whether or not you're putting back the old operating system on it or you're putting another one back on, you need to make sure that you have access to all the device drivers for all the different components in your system. So that includes support for the system board, the video card, the network card, you know, the CD or DVD drive, you know, anything that your computer has, you need to have those device drivers. So people that redo things in Linux, they go from Windows XP to Windows 7, which you can do without issues. You need to have those. If you don't have them and you don't have support for them, you're going to have problems with the hardware talking to the operating system. The other thing is related service packs. The Windows has large files that you can download that have their service pack. So, you know, and it's all inclusive. So, in other words, the service pack for Windows XP Service Pack 3 has everything that is in 1, in 2, and in 3.
Yeah.
So it's all inclusive. So.
How do I make sure I get that? Where do I get the? I go to the actual device.
Yeah, if
make sure the device driver file is. up there? Or
okay, well, one way to know more about your system, if you don't have all the original documentation, there are two programs. One is it's called SPECCY by Peary Forms and Belarc Advisor, BELARC Advisor. Those okay. are two programs you can download and install in your system. They'll tell you more than you ever want to know about your computer and the software that you have, believe me.
Okay.
So those are two places to get the detail. And then, you know, in terms of reformatting the drive, fdisk.com is another useful resource to know about. You know, those are the things that you can use. Those are the tools out there that you can use and leverage. But you got to have those device drivers. And whether or not you put them on a thumb drive or you burn them to a CD or a DVD, you know, you got to have them. Otherwise, you're going to have problems talking to things.
And thanks a lot for calling, Greg. Appreciate your call. Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison, our guest here on the Ideas Net, and he'll be with us right up until 12:30 today. Stay with us. Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Computers can be a tool or a toy, sometimes both at the same time. But however we use them, it can be hard to keep up with the latest on what's going on with them. Now, new product releases, for example. Do you feel like you're keeping up with your computer and all of its software? Larry Mueller here, one of the guys who does a pretty good job of that is Peter Green of InfoStar, and he comes by once a month to talk with you and with me about our computer issues. And here he is, so I hope you'll join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can post there and click like while you're there, and we'll send you regular updates. We will be back right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking your personal computer issues with Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison, our personal computer consultant. Great to have him along. Thank you so much for listening in. Lots of callers online already. We'll get to those in a minute. But, Pete, we've got a list. You've got your monthly top 10 list.
Got my monthly top 10, but it's not posted yet to the website, so I'll do that later tonight. Number one is TSA.gov. And everyone should pretty much that travels know about that site, Transportation Security Administration. Most people use it for air travel, but it's also got everything for rail, bus, truck, and a lot more. This next one boasts that they have access to free music and video websites. There's a toolbar that they promote that has over 1,500 international radio stations that broadcast over the internet, and it's called Radio Masha, MASHA.com. I'm taking a trip out to Yellowstone National Park to do some camping later this week. And some of these tourism sites are just awesome. WyomingTourism.org is Wyoming's site for about Yellowstone and Grand Teton and a lot more. And they're all multimedia and interactive and all that stuff. And then the next one, number four, is TravelWisconsin.com, because guess what they got up there? They got the Fall Color Guide.
Yep.
You know, so that's at your fingertips. The next one, I'm a real stickler for trying to figure out what kind of weather we're going to be dealing with out in Yellowstone. I've come to learn that give it 15 minutes and it will change. But, you know, we've got great weather here in southern Wisconsin. If you go to weatherstreet.com, you've got pull-down menus. So not only you plug in your zip code or your location, but you got pull-down menus to lots and lots of weather information. The next one is called wikitravel.org, and it's a worldwide project to create a free and complete, up-to-date, reliable travel guide, over 25,000 destinations. The next one is called Factoids, F-A-C-T-O-I-D-Z.com, and it's similar to the Helium resource that I announced last month. It's a web source to share knowledge and expertise and meet other experts and potentially maybe earn income, depends on, you know, what you're writing about. And so anyhow, check it out. This next one, if you're a company or maybe a person that deals with needing to truck and ship things by freight, and you do a lot of it, then this resource might be a good one for you. It's called PostEverywhere.com. And it's a pay-for service, but they give you 30 days to check it out. And what they do is they post your listing with the details to over 50 related sites for truck, freight, and loads. So maybe you find a better deal than what you've been getting. So you get a 30-day period to try it out. The next one is for fantasy sports lovers, and it's called scoresheet.com. If you do fantasy sports, you probably already found it. And this next one, I just kind of stumbled across it because I was just kind of looking up about terrorism. And it's kind of a fascinating site, and it's called geopium.org. Huh. And you probably can kind of guess what it's about, but what it is, it's spelled geopium.org. And it was created and edited by a French geographer and research fellow at their National Center for Scientific Research in France. And it's a website for offering information and publications on the geopolitics of illicit drugs in Asia. And it's very detailed and very, I guess, eye-opening.
Okay. So there you have it. And you'll have those posted on your...
Later tonight.
Later tonight at Infostar.com.
Yep.
All right, good. Carol in Dubuque, Iowa, we are on to you now. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Hi, Larry. Hi, Peter. I wonder if you could tell me if my reasoning was valid. I was making a major purchase using a website, and I noticed that on the website they had a Better Business Bureau logo. So I concluded my conversation with the agent, and I went and I found them, and I read all the reviews, good and bad. And then I felt confident, and I made the purchase. And so that's my first question. Is that a fairly effective way of protecting yourself?
Yeah, that sounds like a good approach.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Okay. And the other is I know about 1% of what I need to know to keep my computer, updated and smart. And I'm more than willing to take a class or hire a person to teach me personally. And I just don't know what source I should start looking at. I did take a computer course at my local community college, which mm-hmm. was very interesting as far as general information and the development of computers. And it refreshed, the whole Microsoft, types of products and programs.
Right.
But I really didn't learn anything new mm-hmm. except for history. So
okay.
What would you recommend?
Well, actually, I like using YouTube.
Okay.
I think there are a lot of useful videos out there on probably anything you can think of. People share their tips and tricks, ideas, insights into how to use software that doesn't even document what it's capable of doing, how to fix things. So I think
that's a very good idea.
And then there are some sites out there that have free tutorials, videos on their products, and maybe they, share a couple of chapters on a book that they've written. Maybe that's enough for what you need. Mm-hmm. And then there are some good books out there, Missing Manual series. O'Reilly is the publisher. So I believe if you look up O'Reilly, I'm not sure if it's O'Reilly.com, but O'Reilly Publishing puts out a lot of good series out there. The Missing Manual series is an excellent one. They talk about the manual that should have been in the box with the computer or with your iPhone or whatever you're using. Those are two good things to be using.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Carol, for calling. Tammy and Marinette, we are on to you now.
Larry,
yeah.
I don't want to downplay not taking classes because,
classes are good.
You can also audit classes. So you could take classes at the university as a special student and audit classes. I know seniors, a lot of people take advantage of that. The area technical colleges, and sometimes just even checking with local businesses and banks. Banks put on free seminars. So, you know, there are other routes to go. But I'm saying, you know, those other things are kind of at your fingertips.
Tammy and Marinette, hello.
Hi, Larry. Hi, hey. Peter. Just a quick question. I'm a huge fan of Malwarebytes, and I did an upgrade, mm-hmm. and I got some one-month free extra services.
Okay.
And now I play a lot of Facebook games, and now every, I don't know, probably 3-4 times an hour, I get a little balloon that pops up that says Malwarebytes blocked a infectious whatever and a code. And then it just goes away, and I've never had that before, so I'm guessing it's something to do with the new service, and it's going to expire in 3 days. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a good thing, and I should probably get that service, because apparently I'm being bombarded with bad stuff?
Hmm. Well, you know, it's like it's almost like a cat-and-mouse game, because some of the stuff that goes on that we're contacting on the Internet may be new to what Malwarebytes is trying to track. So I'm not saying it's something to be of, you should be concerned with it, but you may want to contact Malwarebytes and give them details about what you're seeing.
Okay.
And find out if, in fact, they're really doing you a good service by what they're showing you, or whether or not it's stuff that they're just not ready to deal with. Do you follow me?
Because I just had to have the computer wiped out due to a virus that malware didn't catch.
Yeah.
And so when I got it home and I re-downloaded Malwarebytes and I got this free extra service for a month, This started happening. I've never had it before. It gives me an IP address from where the malicious stuff is coming from.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to expire. And I thought, well, if it's blocking all these bad things and keeps me to save $150 from having to wipe it again.
Yeah. You can also down AVG has been pretty good. And again, they're 99%. Nothing's 100%. But you may want to, put another program on your system and see how it reacts.
I have Microsoft Security Essentials.
Yeah. You know, I used to like that. And,
you've changed your mind on that?
I've kind of gone away from it because
I got that because you said it was good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, things change over time.
Sure.
And I found like it almost kind of bogged the system down too much. And
I can see that. It seems slow.
Yeah. So I started using AVG. Mm-hmm. And, I kind of run the full gamut of check. You know, I play the cycle, you know, the circuit. AVG seems to be working pretty well. The only issue with AVG is when you're starting it on for the first time, it's got this massive download, massive download. It's like over 100 meg, and it seems to take longer than most programs to get, installed because of this massive download. But, you might want to check
malware and AVG together instead of Security Essentials.
Yeah. Yep.
Hannah in Bayfield was wondering, is my PC sufficiently protected with the free edition of AVG?
Like I said, it's not 100% guarantee. I've had it on a lot of systems, and every now and then, you know, it's hard to control where people go, what they do, what they download.
Yeah.
Every now and then something gets through. So I guess if you're playing with fire, eventually, you're going to get a burnt finger. And I've had that happen as a kid, so I know what it feels like.
Well, thanks, Tammy.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the
call. I wish I could say, if you download this program and install this, you will forever be protected. But I can't say that.
Short of going out and buying a Mac? even that's not going to be.
It's not 100%.
Not 100% either.
No. It's better than a Windows system. I can tell you. It is better than a Windows system as far as not having to be concerned. But as far as, going to spoofed websites and stuff like that, it's still an issue with the Mac.
Still an issue. David in Lakewood, hello to you.
Yeah, I had a comment on the drivers. There's a free program called Double Driver that will scan your system, get all your drivers, and you can scan it just to get the secondary drivers, not the Microsoft ones.
Right.
And it'll also make you a backup of them. So you got a backup that you can burn on a CD or DVD.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to reformat your hard drive, you get all your drivers right there to reinstall.
Sounds good.
That sounds like a good idea.
Do they charge you for doing that?
Nope. It's a freeware program.
Oh, that's good. That's
good even
to know.
Better.
Yep.
So it's called Double Driver. Yeah.
Double Driver?
Yep.
Thanks.
We'll
make that a see if I can find their website and maybe make it a top 10. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
Do a little test on that.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate the call.
Hey, Larry, you know, we had Judith pointed out to us the person that had that problem with their computer constantly restarting. In real bad cases of getting a virus infection, someone called in and pointed that out, that system was actually infected, could be infected with a virus. And in that case, that's the person that went through that had to redo their entire system. I've had it happen, but it's pretty rare. But it does validate the fact that some of these viruses are very malicious. You know, the Michelangelo virus that we haven't really talked about for years, where,
right.
You know, that took down systems. So just making people aware that sometimes it could also be a virus that makes your hardware look bad.
And Marcy and Stevens Point, let's go to you. Hi, Marcy.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a issue. I used to go to my docs, and I would, of course, have my Word and JPEG items and Adobe, you know, ADF, PDF, rather. And I would be able to scroll it, you know, and pick and choose which items I wanted and be able to look at them. So if I clicked on a PDF, I could see what it was, you know, just kind of see me because I'm kind of selecting which one I want to use for my document, you know. Right now when I'm clicking on, though, when I'm looking at my documents and I'm looking what's there, the JPEG and Adobe, when I click on them, I can't see what they are. I'm just seeing, like, computer, I guess it's language or something, so it's all kind of scrambled up now. And I used to be able to look at them, you know, and see what they were. Now I can't do it, and I'm wondering what happened. I mean, because I'm kind of do the same thing over and over, and just one day I wasn't able to see them, you know.
What kind of system is it?
I have a 97, Microsoft 97.
So is it, it's a Windows system?
Windows 97, right.
Okay. Or Windows 98?
98, right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't have it in front of me, yeah, right, 98.
So is it when you're using, like, Windows Explorer and you're going to look at files?
Yeah, and I would be, you know, like maybe I'm creating a new document and I want to use an attachment, and now when I like to pick and choose which version, the JPEG or the PDF that
right.
I prefer, but now I can't see what they are visually, you know.
It sounds like maybe the file association or the file type that the programs on your system are associated with somehow got changed.
Yeah, I'm thinking because it'll ask me what, and I don't really, I'm kind of a very much a novice, so it's asking me, and I'm thinking, well, what happened? I do it the same, so I'm thinking something inadvertently got changed or something.
Right, so what you need to do, it takes a little bit of work, and you could probably go online and look for some documentation or even tutorials on how to change file type association on Windows 98 is what I would look for. But in Windows Explorer, there's a tab for file types.
And you can the file type. I'm
right.
just taking note. File type tab.
Yeah. But what you need to do is you need to figure out what programs on your system you want associated with the file types. So, you know, if you want to look at it with Microsoft Paint or if it's, what do you call it? Adobe PDF, you need to look at the programs that are installed on your system to associate them with the file types that it sounds to me like you're having a file type association compatibility or, You know, they're not seeing what you used to see, and something got changed.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So you're saying there's a file type tab that I...
Well, it's in Windows Explorer, and then there's a file type tab, and that's where you would make the changes. But I would look, do a search to see how to actually do it.
Okay.
People have documented that.
Okay, so just search for, you called it File Type Association?
Right, on Windows 98.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. And Rodney in Oshkosh, hi.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
My computer runs slow, locks up a lot, and I have to shut it off and restart it all the time. Okay. I was thinking, is it because I maybe have too many security systems on there?
What kind of operating system are you running?
Windows 7.
Okay. So it locks up a lot?
Yeah, and once in a while an error message might come up.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have multiple security things on there.
Okay. Have you done any registry cleaning on it?
No.
Okay. Oh. You might want to consider doing that. There's a program called CCleaner. Works well with Windows 7.
It's free.
And it's a free download. Piriforms is the name of the company, and it's spelled C and then cleaner.
Okay.
And they make a Windows 7 version. And you download that and, you know, back up your registry the first time when it asks for it. And usually by the you might have to run it like three times. So you run it the first time, back up the registry, and then the second time it might still find stuff. And by the time you do number three, it should be clean. I don't think I've ever had to run it four times in a row.
Okay.
And see if that helps.
And cut the percentage.
Yeah, especially if you get more than 50 registry problems, you'll probably notice your system running better.
Okay.
Yep.
So
that's.
I don't have to worry then about removing some of the security systems at this point.
I probably would look at that after I did the registry clean and see, you know, if there's still other issues that might be slowing it down. The other thing is the Microsoft startup. If you have a lot of things running in your startup, that would be something else I would take a look at too.
Okay.
So if MS config, if you just click that in, when you click on start and then just put that in, you'll find that on your system too.
Okay.
And then look at the startup tab. And we talked about it earlier in the show. It's the same thing. Write down what all the checkboxes are and what's checked off. And then it becomes a trial and error to see what you want to have starting and what you don't.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Jeff emailed us, I believe, or would he come up on our Facebook page? I don't remember here. Oh, it's an email. The lady with a money problem from Taiwan should also call her credit card company. I had the same issue with eBay with a purchase not being delivered and was told by eBay that they sided with the seller and I was out of luck. I called my credit card company and filed a complaint against the seller. The money was credited to my account right away and I received a letter from the credit card company stating the case was closed in my favor.
Hmm.
So, yeah, could definitely call the credit card company on something like that. I think that was a really very good piece of advice.
Well, you can use PayPal both with your credit card and also a direct bank transfer. So, you know, if the earlier person wasn't using a credit card.
If they weren't using a credit card, yeah. If it was a direct bank, then you're kind of out of luck.
Then you got to work with PayPal on it.
And, you know, with that, I think we're out of time, Pete.
It always flies by, but we covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we covered it. Dave in Madison said for Mac people, the Mac experts, you can get classes for like $10 that are really very, very
good.
Yeah,
you know, the Apple store, they have classes all the time.
Yeah, and they're really good.
Yep.
Pete, thank you so much. You'll be back in a month. We'll do this again.
Sounds great. Thanks, Larry.
Peter Green of InfoStar, our guest today, and he will be back in about a month, and we will talk with him some more about computer issues. Taking a look ahead to tomorrow at 11, travel expert Rick Cini of FareCompare.com will be here to help with fall and winter air travel. And then at 11:45, Mary Bergen joins us to talk about her favorite regional destinations. Stay with us.